when I was moving back to Philadelphia, it meant leaving my office at Courage in Connecticut, but also leaving the parish where I'd been living for about 8.5 years. And I was out for breakfast with some parishioners from there, and we were talking about how when I left, it would just be the pastor there. And he's been saying Mass most mornings, because I would say Mass in our office, but the husband of the pair, he said, "Father, I like Father Joe just fine, but you know, it's like eating out of the same box of cereal every single morning. Sometimes you want a little variety. So I hope that you don't mind if breakfast and brunch are out of the same box of cereal today." It's very interesting in the first reading today how the church prepares the passage for us. You know, we're always dealing with just a segment of sacred scripture. And the church today, I think, in order to kind of match it up well with the gospel, leaves off the very end of the story. The Lord asks Solomon what he wants, and Solomon says, "Well, give me wisdom." And the Lord says, "Excellent, because you haven't asked for a long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but asked for understanding, I'll give it to you." And then the reading for today ends, but there's another sentence after it. God says, "And I'll also give you all that other stuff, a long life and riches and protection from your enemies, and you'll live in a palace. And, you know, because you asked for the most important thing, I'll give you that. And I'll also give you all the things that you didn't ask for." And in some ways, this maybe makes more sense to us, right? Because we know that discipleship involves leaving things behind and putting our priorities in the right place. But we also trust, because the Lord has made this promise, that he'll take care of us as well. The Lord says a little later in Matthew's gospel to Simon Peter, "Whoever leaves father or mother or home or lands for my sake and the gospel will receive 100 times as many of all those things. Even the man who finds the treasure buried in the field." Of course, Jesus never explains why he was in someone else's field digging around, but we'll ask him that if we get to the kingdom of God. But he says he finds it and hides it again, goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Well, why? Because he's getting a treasure, right? It's a temporary sacrifice. But then once he has the treasure, he can use it and build himself a house or plant himself a farm on the field that he just bought. He's made a sacrifice, he's got the riches, and now he'll have everything that he needs. Not so for the merchant. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. All that he has. Not he goes and sells all his other pearls, or he goes and sells all of his pearls and all of his other jewelry, or he goes and sells the pearls and the jewelry and gives away the stuff that he's stashed up for his retirement. No, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that pearl. So then what does he do? He's got this really nice pearl, but you can't eat it. He can't sleep on it. And if he buys something else with it, he's not going to have it anymore. Maybe he'll camp out on the other guy's field. But other than that, what does he do? But you know what? He doesn't care. That kind of calculation doesn't even seem to factor in. He sees what he wants. It's the thing that he's been searching for his entire life. He sees it, and he wants to have it, and he wants it to belong to him. And if it means that he sleeps on the street and eats scraps from the trash and begs for spare change for the rest of his life so that he can have this precious thing that finally he's found after looking for it for so long, then that's fine. And that pearl is enough for him. I was in, Louisiana. A couple years ago, I was going to give a talk to the priest down there for Courage, and the bishop there invited me to a meeting with his senior staff, and he said at the beginning of the meeting, you know, Courage people are some of the most heroic people that I know. And I smiled, you know, like you do. Yes, Bishop. Right? And I'd heard something like that from a lot of people. And he wanted me to make sure, he wanted to make sure that I knew what he meant. He said, no. He said, I'm not just throwing that around. He said, you know, there are lots of people in lots of parishes on lots of Sundays who live very good lives and who come to church and bring their children for the sacraments and pray their prayers and say their rosaries every day and fast and pray and Lent and do all the right things, and they'll live good Catholic lives and they'll die holy Catholic deaths and have solemn Catholic funerals and have spent their entire life never having made a definitive choice to follow the Lord. But Courage people, he said, and Courage, I'm sure he meant as well, they've changed their entire lives. The way that they think about themselves, the way that they look at themselves, the way that they look at relationships, the people that they spend time with, the people that they've come to depend on, the things that they do, they've changed the whole way that they think. They've changed everything, given up lots of things, taken on lots of burdens, for only one reason: because they believe that the Lord has called them to do that. He said, that's heroism. And I couldn't agree more. Why are we here year after year? Why do you go to your chapters week after week or month after month? Why do you give up everything? Old ways of thinking, old ways of acting, old ways of relating, even old relationships, even old friendships. Because you found it. We have found the pearl of great price. And there's many aspects to it. You don't cut pearls the way that you cut diamonds, but this particular pearl has lots of facets to it. Just go with me on that. Chastity, friendship, faithfulness, lots of things about it that draw us in. But that pearl isn't any of those things in particular, certainly not any one of those things in isolation. That pearl is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and a relationship through the Lord Jesus Christ with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and a relationship and a connection through the Holy Trinity with the communion of saints, past, present, and future. That is what we're willing to give up everything else to possess. If it's not, just go home. Because nothing else is worth the sacrifice. But when we find that pearl, when we find that one thing that can satisfy, and that one thing that we've been searching for, well, then the question is it enough? But that it is not a what, it's a who. And so the question is he enough? Is God enough for me? Which is a harder question to answer than it really ought to be, because people and things are more visible, certainly, and feel closer and more immediate than God, who it's hard to get close to sometimes and hard to see or to hear sometimes. But that's not the point. It's not the question. The question is a relationship with him enough to make everything different, if that's what it takes? Because God is always enough for us. And maybe more to the point, you are enough for him. And our relationship with him only works if we realize that God is not waiting to love us until we're perfect. And God is not playing with our emotions or our lives and testing us all the time so that we have to keep something in reserve just in case this whole thing doesn't work out. And God is not calling us to do anything that he hasn't already done for us and that he isn't willing to do in us. And he doesn't want you or need you or expect you to be anything other than who you are. But he invites you to give everything to him.